Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. It's a big news day in the NFL with possible expansion to the playoffs and expansion to the regular season on the docket. And to help us talk about that, we're going to bring in an expert. Jeremy Fowler from ESPN joins us now by phone. Jeremy, thanks for taking time to come on with us, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
So when you see what's going on right now in discussions regarding the CBA between the NFL and the NFLPA and the potential expansion to 17 games in the regular season, as well as expanding the playoffs to another team, making the playoffs in each conference, what's your initial reaction to all this?
Well, it shows how far down the road these negotiations are. Where things could realistically get done today. It all comes down to Friday and the vote with the players and the players' reps, and they're going to have a conference call. If they get the votes they needed, this could go down rather quickly. If they don't, this could lag on. But the playoff format you mentioned, everybody's been pretty comfortable with that, to be honest. Two more teams get in the playoffs. There's been no real issue with that. The issue is the 17th game in how you distribute revenue. You know, it looks like the players can go from like 47% revenue to closer to 50. That might not be done. I know a big concern now for Friday's call is getting on the same page with the money and what it's going to mean for people already under contract. Do they get, you know, 1/17th more, an extra game check for an extra game? How does all that work? So they need to get clarity on all that and then vote on it. But, you know, as a betting man, I think this will go down, and there will be a new CBA before mid-March when free agency starts.
Are you surprised at all by that, Jeremy? I know early when the 17th game was floated, I know around here there were some Tennessee Titans, Logan Ryan in particular, very outspoken about, you know, not liking the idea and, you know, believing that, you know, it does not speak well of the NFL's supposed commitment to player safety. I understand, you know, enough money is going to change minds,
sure.
but I'm frankly a little surprised that we're this close all of a sudden.
Right, and that's why the vote could maybe go either way, and not everybody has a full handle on how this is going to go down this week. I think that's the issue because of this game hanging over everybody. And you got to consider that's an extra game potentially for a team that would be normally a two seed or a team that would get a bye. There might only be one bye now, according to reports, and so you're sitting there playing an extra playoff game potentially. So there's a lot involved, and this is leverage for the players to try to get the benefits out of that, one of which is going to be, bigger salaries for the minimum. You know, the minimum salary right now is like $510,000, I think, so they're working to get that higher. A key is long-term health care. You know, I don't know they're going to get that or not, but that's probably on the docket for the next few days as well of what they can get out of that in exchange, along with the extra money. So there are some benefits in play that are good. I think a lot of players will say, hey, if they're going to pay me more, I'll play the extra game. But that affects people in different ways, whether you're a veteran or you're just coming up or you're passionate about the game and the safety component. So that's why this is such a wild card from a voting standpoint, and the league needs to make it work the players' while.
Jeremy, you're well connected throughout the NFL, but obviously cover the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. What have you made of this Myles Garrett situation regarding Mason Rudolph and then Mike Tomlin's response to the allegations that Myles Garrett threw out there?
Well, I'm kind of torn on it, to be honest, because you want, you know, especially in my profession, you want players to speak honestly and be revealing and all those things, you know. So I'll never knock somebody for that. But for Mike Tomlin to come out the way he did, so strongly in a statement and on ESPN's First Take and denounce all this and say that he's, quote, hacked off, speaks to how ludicrous the Steelers think this all is. You know, it was not corroborated at all. Nobody was really talking about it after the game. The NFL did their investigation, that you still bring it up 3-4 months later. So that's the major issue that the Steelers have. And I will say this, I know from what I've heard, there are people in the Browns building that don't necessarily believe Myles Garrett. You know, that's sort of the rub here, is like, why is this being brought back up? But, it's something that will make – it will probably dissipate here soon because, I don't want to speculate on lawsuits, but I wouldn't imagine Mason Rudolph is going to file one for a suit for defamation. considering his head coach came out and sort of helped his cause. Now, if it doesn't go away, maybe he will. But until then, I would suspect the Browns and Steelers could be playing week one on a primetime game of sorts.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, I mean, this is already, you know, an intense situation between these franchises. And how do you think this plays out, or what do you think the impact is, you know, on the field next year?
Well, the good news is for the Steelers and the Browns probably is that Mason Rudolph most likely won't be playing. You know, so he can avoid that headache, and Big Ben will most likely be in there. All signs are good that the Steelers feel he'll be able to recover. Now, he's a long way off from that, but they feel like by the summertime, you know, he'll be throwing the football and things will be pretty good overall. And so, you know, kind of quells the tension a little bit in that way. But, you know, you still have a lot of the dynamics in play. And you know, these teams, this could get to a point where it's Bengals-Steelers. You know, the Bengals are down now. If you recall 3 or 4 years ago, that was the most heated matchup in the NFL. This could overtake that. The AFC North always has one good one. You know, it usually involves Pittsburgh. And so I think Cleveland-Pittsburgh might be that matchup this year.
Jeremy Fowler from ESPN on the line with us. And, Jeremy, you came out with a great article yesterday talking to league executives about some specific players that are free agents. And obviously a guy that's very popular around here is Marcus Mariota. What's kind of your sense on what his value could be from a league-wide perspective and maybe what his future could look like in the NFL?
Well, you know, I think he's going to implement the Ryan Tannehill formula, you know, the guy that essentially got him benched, and go to a team where he has a pretty good chance to play. But, you know, he's not going to get, my understanding at least, is he most likely won't get a huge contract of starter's money, but I think he will get a very good contract and will have a strong market, either bridge starter or high-level backup. That's probably the sweet spot. But even you look at a team like Chicago, everybody says that Mariota would be a great fit there because, you know, with Matt Nagy's offense, you need a mobile guy. He's kind of similar to Mitch Trubisky. They don't have a ton of cap space, and they're going to have to pay up for a guy like Marcus. I think he's going to wait it out a little bit. I don't think he's going to jump at the first offer. Is my understanding, he wants to see how the quarterback dominoes fall. Very small chance he returns to Tennessee. I just don't see that. And so, you know, he's going to be a guy who will be coveted, but not the way you would think he would have been 5 years ago when he was drafted second overall. You know, it's just a different landscape, and, you know, he might have to come in somewhere where there are two, you know, quarterbacks that can start but are sort of bridge options or high-level backups, and he can either compete or knowing that he might get in if the starter struggles.
Speaking of coveted, Jeremy, you talked about, you know, you wrote about Jack Conklin also, you know, and you quoted an AFC exec. The quote, he's back now, you know, had a really strong contract year. And, of course, people around here saw that up close. Conklin really bounced back. You wrote, Conklin should be Cleveland's first call come mid-March. Lots of cap space for the Browns. I imagine other teams will be interested. What do you think the market will be for him, and how do you envision that playing out?
Yeah, I mean, tackles get paid, man. They almost always do, good ones, you know. And so Trent Brown, you know, with Oakland, who wasn't like considered a top five tackle, you know, undisputedly got 16 whatever million dollars a year it was in free agency from Oakland, and so that bodes well for Jack Conklin. He's going to get a huge contract. A team like Cleveland, who desperately needs to protect Baker Mayfield, really had a patchwork tackle lineup. You know, they had Chris Hubbard, who's a decent player but a journeyman and kind of a swing tackle. And then Greg Robinson, who just got busted for 157 pounds of marijuana on the Mexico border, El Paso border. And so that speaks volumes to what they need right there. Not, you know, Odell Beckham, to me, is not the problem there. It's protecting Baker Mayfield and then maybe getting like a tight end. And so that's why I see Cleveland as a natural spot there. You know, Washington probably needs to spend a little bit on their line. They're going to lose Brandon Scherf at guard most likely. Trent Williams has been out for the year and doesn't want to play for Washington anymore. And so that could be an NFL fit as well.
ESPN senior NFL writer Jeremy Fowler has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Jeremy, thanks for coming on with us, man. We really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
Have a good day. This segment was brought to you by Holly Gerenzen, your local Geico agent on Rosa Parks Boulevard. Holly can help you out with your car, home, motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance. Located at 2120 Rosa Parks Boulevard. Think local, buy local with Geico. Interesting stuff there, Joe. And, you know, I haven't really thought about Cleveland being a potential destination and landing spot for Jack Conklin. But when you think about it, especially given the news that we just talked about with Robinson, it makes a lot of sense because I think the league took notice of Jack Conklin the year that he had. There were a ton of question marks coming into the year about how he was going to respond coming off the injury. He was finally healthy and feeling like himself again. Could he get back to the Jack Conklin that we grew accustomed to watching in the first couple years? And the answer largely was yes. So it's going to be really interesting to see how not only the Titans handle this situation, but how interested is Jack Conklin in what his value is going to be around the league. Something I think really interesting to keep an eye on.
Cleveland is closer to home. Conklin's from Michigan. It's also interesting when you think about, so Greg Robinson, you got 157 pounds, and then I think back to draft night when we got to see Laremy Tunsil in the mask. There's like Weed and Conklin's, you know, landing spots seem to have
intersecting.
Yeah, they seem to have something to do with each other. So I don't know, man.
I hadn't thought about that. That's a good point.
But yeah, I think Jack Conklin wants to be here. You know, he started to raise his daughter here. He's been here his whole career. I think he really likes, you know, the organization and the locker room, and those things are, I think, certainly going to be factors in this. No doubt about it.
When we come back, we'll discuss some more potential landing spots for NFL free agents and how that's going to affect the Tennessee Titans this upcoming season. You're listening to Morning Drive. This is Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.